I see when I get bored, I make up my own movie.
You're listening to Distracted.
Pay attention to me, boy.
And Confused.
Are you not entertained?
Nope.
All right. Welcome back to Distracted and Confused. I am your host and lone host for the night, Tim. I don't know. I don't have a cool nickname, I don't think. And we're one short this week without Jordan. And we have producer Tim stepping up to record. So God help us all. Hopefully this records and we have an episode tonight. We welcome on to kind of help me out to get through this episode. We have Chris, who was our Game of Thrones host for about 8 episodes or so. And then we have Nerd Al.
Nerd alert!
So I think we have a great kind of panel for what we're talking about tonight.
I have to say, I'm jealous that Nerd Al gets the nerd title.
I'm not.
We do have trivia tonight, but I'm sure there can be some kind of nerd off where we can get something going there where we can get the actual nickname. But we can have more than one. But Jordan says sometimes we get too nerdy, so I think that's where I come in, where I kind of like balance it out a little bit. But we have, I guess, a pretty nerdy time today. We have the Disney Universe releasing all of its different stuff. So we're going to go all deep into that. We're not going to do any news. Well, this is the news, right? This is the news, main discussion, everything. So this is what we're talking about tonight. So how ecstatic were you guys on Thursday when it first got released? Like, were you on top of it when it came out, or did it take you a while for the news to trickle down to you?
I knew most of the stuff maybe about like 24 hours after it happened. So I was not on top of it until just finally see like, oh my God, like look how much like they announced inside of like one investor call pretty much.
This is where we need Jordan on, because I was sitting on a work call that was like sort of involved. That was like a later evening work call. And Jordan texted me and was just giving me like live text of what was going on. And definitely got me on one of them where somebody called me out in the call and was like, Chris? And
it
was
Jordan
had just said that they were putting a Rogue One movie out, and I was watching the trailer on my phone. So that is how I was finding it out. Jordan was filling me in like announcement by announcement.
Yes, Jordan was incredible because he was on our Distraction Twitter. I don't know what it's called, Distracted and Confused Twitter. I have no idea what her handle is, but try to look up Distracted and Confused on Twitter and you'll find it. Jordan probably tweeted out like 50 tweets with that one Thursday night. He was going crazy, and I feel bad because I think this is like a Super Bowl for what he loves, so but he's missing this tonight. So Jordan, I'm sure you're watching because you have to edit this too. We'll talk about it a little bit next week too. We'll give you a little, you know, 5-minute rant or something like that. So what I first want to say, so kind of getting into what it is, it's Investor Day. So it kind of reminds me of like Silicon Valley when they're sitting in the boardroom, like kind of discussing what's going on. And so I did hear a little snippet like beforehand for the Disney Plus subscriptions. They're expecting around 90 million subscriptions by 2024, just based on those numbers and everything. And obviously a pandemic kind of makes those numbers go up. They're around 137 million subscriptions right now, which is way past what they were thinking. And they're expected around 260 to, I think, 300 million subscriptions by 2024, which is a crazy boost. And they only went up $1 in price. They went from $6.99 to $7.99 in pricing. Anything stick out to you from the subscriptions or price change? Chris, first on kind of what's going on with everything.
I think I was surprised that the price change wasn't higher. And I'm happy it's not, because I want to be able to be exposed to all that content. But yeah, I guess it's just when I looked at I was a little surprised, like I said, that it didn't go up higher. And then I saw the numbers that you just referenced, and then my eyeballs kind of popped out and it was like, oh.
Yeah, they're getting plenty of
all of that money makes sense.
Yeah. Al, how much would you pay? Like, would you pay 15, 20 bucks for a subscription if that was the case? Like, you're just like, I'm all in already. I'm like, you already have me. Just take my money at this point.
In between seasons of The Mandalorian, I'm actually one of the ones debating just like shutting off my subscription and like waiting for the new seasons to come out. No, you saying those figures just now, I was a little bit like dumbstruck. Like I have no idea how they have that many people subscribed, unless they're counting like free subscription, like the 30-day trials. Like, oh yeah, like we have like 15 million people that are actually paying month to month, and then the other like 200 million or whatever are like just doing like the 30-day pass right now, because like that is, God, like that sounds like, I don't even know how many like people Netflix has nowadays, but if I had to assume how many people have Netflix, it would be around those figures.
Yeah, I was going to say too, like you said, those are probably inflated numbers a little bit, but that number is still very, very high and way more expensive than they were even thinking they were doing. So they're ahead of schedule, and obviously this investor day turned out to be one of the bigger announcements that we've seen in a long time. So I think we can kind of jump into it a little bit. So we're going to save the Marvel and Star Wars stuff kind of for last. I think that'll be kind of the meat of what we talk about tonight. So we first want to jump into, we're going to do kind of subcategories like we do for the news. We're going to see what sticks out. If anything does, we can talk about it. If not, we can just move on. So kind of like our pause, play, rewind thing we used to do. So live action series coming to Disney Plus in 2021. I'm trying to get my host voice on. Jordan's voice is a lot better. But so we have The Mighty Ducks, Game Changers. Emilio Estevez returns for a 10-episode series as of now. And then we have Turner and the Hooch, starring Josh Peck and a dog. It's kind of a comedy series thing. Big Shot, it's a world of high school girls basketball. I think it's telling the story of each girl one by one. It's going to be starring John Stamos, Yvette Nicole Brown from Community, and Jessalyn Gisley. That was a tough one. Then we have The Mysterious Benedict Society, which is based off a book, so I don't care. It's starring Tony Hale and Christian Shaw. Anything stick out to you guys? Just kind of our short list we have.
Mighty Ducks. I mean, I got really insulted the other day when I looked up on Rotten Tomatoes and saw that the Mighty Ducks D2 had like a 20% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's a dangerous game to play with the movies that you grew up with as a child.
I found that very insulting. And so that being said, I am really excited for the Mighty Ducks. Game Changers, I mean, fingers crossed, could we get a Charlie Conway cameo? Who can tell? That would be hilarious. Because that guy's around in stuff, so
yeah. And Mark did a podcast with us as well, talking about the best movies that were under 50%. I'm not sure if Mighty Ducks got referenced, but if it's that low, it should definitely be like, you know, it's has greatness involved with it. So that's definitely the one that stuck out to me. Honestly, the other ones kind of looked like they sucked. I think the only problem with Mighty Ducks is that it's a kid's movie, like from us, so I don't know if it'll be good at our age still. I don't know if they'll, you know, try to redirect it to our target age, or they'll try to keep it as a kids movie for kids. So I don't know about that for sure.
The one thing I was thinking about when I saw that was announced was, what if they did something in the line of, because Tim, you watched that Cobra Kai series, which
yeah,
Karate Kid was like very family friendly and a little bit more mature than I'd say that like the Mighty Ducks was, but now, like, they have this kind of rebooted series in that regard, and I think they're a little bit more relaxed in terms of, like, it's a little bit, there's a little bit more, like, adult humor in that, or at least in terms of, like, profanity in that, so I kind of pictured something along the lines of that, which would be kind of interesting, but for that series, I can see them probably keeping it more geared towards, like, the kids, though.
Yeah. And even... Goldberg had a lot of trouble with his, like, I think a drug addiction or something like that, so he was really messed up, so I'm sure they don't want to steer, like that was almost real life, like Cobra Kai for him, but I think he's getting better now. I think he had some kind of rehabilitation services, you know, given to him too, so hopefully that's all right. But the Turner the Hooch didn't look good. Cool dog. I like big dogs, I mean, that's all I got to say to that, but nothing really sticks out to you guys, or for me at least. Anything else for you, or no?
There's no reason to remake Turner and Hooch. Tom Hanks and that dog got it right the first time.
Yeah, Josh Peck, he's not the answer. All right, so we move on. So we have the category of high-profile entertainment series in development for Disney+. We have The Beauty and the Beast, working title, starring Luke Evans and Josh Gad. We have Swiss Family Robinson, starring Ron Moore and John M. Chu. We have Percy Jackson and the Olympians, which I also think is a book, that's coming out sometime soon. So anything stick out on this part of the list?
I'm kind of interested in what they do with the Swiss Family Robinson, because Ron Moore and John Chu, those have got to be like the showrunners, I think. Those aren't actors.
Oh, so much I know.
Yeah, so Ron Moore is probably known most recently. I think he's either a showrunner or the main writer for the Outlander series that's on like Stars or Showtime or whatnot. That's like a very popular series out there. And then for me, I'm figuring out a way to bring in, was it my nerdiness? He was also the showrunner on Battlestar Galactica back in the day. So he's, he's done some pretty good series there. And I don't know if either of you like are familiar with the old Swiss Family Robinson story, but it's basically a story about this family that gets like shipwrecked out in like the, I think like Southeast, like Asian, like Pacific. They made a movie, which is pretty popular. Like it was a 1960s movie that you might've seen as a kid or something, like your parents might've had it but just kind of detailing that.
And I never actually watched that show, but I watched Lost in Space, which is basically Swiss Family Robinson, except in space.
So, yeah, that's basically the sci-fi version of this story.
So I did see there's a movie called The New Swiss Robinson Family, and it was like a 32% of Rotten Tomatoes. I'm like, why are they rebooting a crappy movie? But I'm sure, like I said, there's another version before that, too, that was made before. So I'm sure there's some reason to remake it. Yeah. Not the worst idea.
But the other two I don't care about.
I thought the other one, well, I thought the idea of Beauty and the Beast, a working title, I feel like it's, you can like simplify it as Beauty and the Beast, like live action. Like you don't have to make it anything other than what it is. Like don't overthink it. So I just
don't get viewers.
Yeah.
But also like Luke Evans was the guy who played Gaston in like the most recent live action of Beauty and the Beast. So like, is it just like a series based on him? Like in which case, additionally, what's the point then, especially?
Yeah, and I'll get in this too. A lot of the things that are coming up on this list that I thought were movies are like TV series. So like, I'll kind of get into the question of that, of like, why make something a series? Why make it a movie in the sense of it? But we'll kind of move on in that later on. Beauty, nothing on that list really set up to me to watch. I might watch Beauty and the Beast, maybe, but not really. I don't think so. So I think it's safe to say we can move on now. So we move on to Walt Disney Studio Motion Pictures. We have Hocus Pocus 2 that we've talked about before when talking about Halloween. We have Three Men and a Baby starring Zac Efron. We have Cheaper by the Dozen. I can't believe they're remaking that. Yeah. By Kenya Barris and Gabrielle Union. And then we have Sister Act, where Whoopi Goldberg makes a return. Anything stick out on this list?
There's a lot of remakes.
Yeah. I'm going to say no, and I'm sure there will be people very excited about Sister Act. I know that there are big Sister Act fans out there. I'm just not one of them.
It's not me, but I mean, it's someone still likes it.
More power to him, just not my thing.
Yeah, what Cheer About a Dozen was a good movie. I didn't think it was bad. I like Steve Martin, but it wasn't like a movie that I need to see remade or even done again. Like, there's nothing I haven't seen in the first one that I don't need to see now. Three Men and a Baby, I can actually see Zac Efron being good at that. He kind of has that humor that I enjoy, but I just don't need it. Like I said, anything on this list, I just don't need.
I concur.
Okay. Al, anything you want to add to that?
I don't know of any. Hocus Pocus 2 is probably the most, the one that people
called upon.
Or just like we're looking for either a remake or a sequel to, and even that's a stretch. Like,
yeah, we're almost to the good stuff, guys. We're almost to the stuff we actually want to talk about. So before we get to Star Wars, we have other Disney projects revealed, kind of like side ones that don't really have a category, I guess. We have Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, a hybrid live-action animated film starring John Mulaney and Andy Samberg. We have Pinocchio, directed by Robert Zemeckis, starring Tom Hanks. We have Peter Pan and Wendy, starring Jude Law as Captain Hook, and Yara Shahidi as Tinkerbell. We have Disenchanted, a sequel to hit the film Enchanted, with Amy Adams returning as Giselle. I guess I'll start off with this one. Chip and Dale with Andy Samberg and John Mulaney. I'm a big fan of those voices. I don't know if I like the movie, but those voices just kind of stand out as good like voiceovers for a movie. So I'm a fan of that, at least for the casting of that movie.
Is that the Chipmunk like cartoon? Was that a...
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So yeah. I think those two
make... I like those shit. I just... Yeah.
I might like take an edible or smoke a little bit and then watch that movie. It might be a little funnier, but I think that would be a good 420 category because... one of our other distraction Distracted and Confused group members mentioned, like, they saw a movie and they thought it was hilarious, and then no one else thought it was funny at all. And like, well, were you high? Like, yeah, I was high. Like, it's a little different for some people, like, when you have some stuff to help out with that. But I think Chip and Dale might be one of those movies. Pinocchio, I just have no interest in. I've seen it. I don't really care about it. Tom Hanks is cool, but I just don't need it.
So the target audience of Chip and Dale, young kids who are children, and Tim on edibles.
Yeah. That's all you need right there. That's all the target you need. So
Disney strategies, they're going to be handing out edibles to all the parents that take the kids. Like, here, we know this will help.
Yes, they're good voices. Andy Samberg and Mulaney have good voices. Where, like,
I think if Disney, like, lets them have a pretty good input, like, on the actual comedy of there, I think it has a better chance too.
Yeah. So, all right, I'm gonna do actually one more category before we move to Star Wars. It's kind of in the middle there, so I want to do Star Wars, Marvel back to back. So we're gonna move on to Pixar. These are future films announced in the theaters for 2022. We have Turning Red, which is a, like, 13-year-old girl going through puberty or something like that, and she, every time she gets excited, she turns into a red thing. I don't know. I think it was a dog or something like that.
Red panda, I think.
Red panda, yeah. We have Lightyear, which is the origin story of Buzz Lightyear that Chris Evans confirmed, because they're not doing the original voice of Tim Allen. They're doing, but it's like the origin story of Buzz Lightyear before that the toy's based on. So we're kind of getting through that origin story. So I think that's the two ones right there. I think that one looks kind of awesome. I'm all for that. It's animated as well, so I'm definitely going to watch that. Turning Red. It's a kid's movie, but I might watch with my niece or nephew. I don't know. It's something that still catches the eye. They both look good.
Yeah, I think the Lightyear. I mean, the Lightyear sounds like the one that I'll actually watch. Like, go out of my way to watch, not just when I'm really bored. Turning Red might be something I would.
Al, do you think it was a good idea for them to change the voice from Chris Evans to Chris Evans?
I think this is a good situation for them to change the voice. Because if they were just doing another Toy Story thing and they said, oh, Chris Evans is now voicing Lightyear, then there's the uproar about, like, what the heck? Like, because Tim Allen's voicing of Buzz Lightyear is pretty iconic. But no, so I think this is a fair, like, way
to do it. And if you're actually looking to make it clear to the audience that this is supposed to be not the Buzz Lightyear toy, that's kind of an effective way
to do it. Yeah, I was going to say, like,
it's Chris Evans.
If Buzz Lightyear and Lightyear ever cross path, like Lightyear picks up a Buzz Lightyear, you know, toy, he's mm-hmm. gonna know the difference between the two voices. So
right.
Yeah, that's the right way to go. It almost seemed like a slight at first, but in reality it was just a move that was logical in the sense of it. So I think we're ready for the Star Wars portion of our time. And I think we can dive deeper into this a little more, as I think the Marvel and Star Wars things are the two most things people want to talk about or kind of break down. We had 10 new Marvel releases, 10 new Star Wars releases too, at least. So I'm going to have the list that we have. I think we were missing some things. Should I add it on Lando late to this category? So I'm just going to read it off. Let me know what sticks out to you guys. We have, and I'm going to say some names wrong probably. I don't know. I'm just going to read it through. Obi-Wan Kenobi starring Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen as Darth Vader. Al, I saw you giggle already. Is that a giggle?
How do you pronounce it? Ewan McGregor's name again?
You say it. Come on.
Ewan McGregor?
I'm a backup pitcher, okay? I'm stepping in from Jordan. Jordan's like a I'm trying to think of an ace pitcher on the mound. I'm like the closer that comes in who is a little rocky at times. Ewan? Say it.
Ewan.
Oh my god. It doesn't sound anything like that. Yes. Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen coming back as Darth Vader. We also have two series set in the Mandalorian era with Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, with the Rangers of the New Republic. And god damn it, I can't. You told me how to say this name, Ahsoka?
Yeah, you got it.
That's sorry, Rosario Dawson, best known for a role as. I was trying to think. Why I can't think of the name? It's Jay and Silent Bob. I'm like, I was trying to think what else she was in. not best known for that, but. That's what I remember her from. And then I also threw in there, Lando has a new series with Donald Glover. I don't know if there's any, if it's speculation or if it's confirmed, but that is on the list as well, at least that I caught my eye because I'm a big Donald Glover fan. And Then for future films, oh, we have Al typing stuff. Good job. For future films, we have The Rogue Squadron coming in December 2023, and Star Wars feature film featuring or film by Taika Waititi. I can never say that right. And then Al, you can mention what you have added to the list as well.
So then another couple series that they're doing is one called The Acolyte, which is that's probably their newest one of their fresher, newest stories. It's supposed to take place prior to the prequel series. And it's supposed to be, I guess, like a mystery thriller dealing with kind of dark side players and them coming into their own, leading up to The Phantom Menace. So that was the prequel movie. So okay. It's just kind of setting the stage for when Emperor Palpatine, where his origins might kind of come from. We don't really know really any details about it other than that super simple synopsis.
Gotcha. So perfect. So what we'll do with Star Wars, because we like this a little more, I'm going to go one by one down the list and kind of we can comment each one and then move on each one. We're not going to pass or anything. So first we're going to start with Obi-Wan Kenobi with I can't remember what you guys said. It was Ewan or Uwan or something like that. And Hayden Christensen as Darth Vader. This Chris is giggling up too. I love it. So was this the biggest announcement that Star Wars had with Hayden Christensen coming back as Darth Vader? Or just kind of in the middle of the pack? Where do you describe this as the news drop for Star Wars with this first one?
I think this is the one that they would expect to be their biggest splash, especially to casual, not even casual, but your regular Star Wars fans who at least are looking for something that's a connection to what they know. I have my own thoughts on it, but Al, I mean, what do you think? I think that that's probably what people would probably geek out over the Obi-Wan Kenobi the most.
Yeah, I think that one's been, it's been a series that's already been announced before this, and it's kind of gone through a little bit of development hell, in the sense rewrites and production halting and all that, even before COVID, I think. So I know a lot of people were excited for that series, and I think it is an added bonus to have Hayden Christensen back. In the sense of him coming back as Darth Vader, I see him as, I hope they kind of utilize him more as a flashback character so that you can actually see him act. Because just bringing him back just to act as Darth Vader in the suit and then have someone voice record over it, I think would just kind of be a waste of bringing him back. It is a cool little nod to him, because I know he, when the prequels came out, I know he got a lot of crap for wooden acting and everything. And I chalk that up as more bad directing or whatever, rather than bad acting.
It's called a combo.
It came off bad, but I think it was what he was working with.
Oh yeah. I call it a combo of both. Cause, I think Ewan McGregor did a little more with his bad lines than Hayden Christensen was able to.
So oh, yeah. No, he and Liam Neeson were probably the best actors out of the prequel trilogy.
Yeah. So, Al, it was funny, too, because I was trying to do research today, and I started to watch, I didn't know how I stumbled upon it, but it was, Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer, and Al came out, it's fake, don't listen to it. Why do they make fake trailers? What does that even mean? Al, you can take this question. Why was they watching that trailer?
Well, the only reason I knew it was fake is I had watched it, too, just kind of, they didn't, because I didn't fully pay attention, again, to the Investor Day stuff, so, did they do this? And it was, I had seen elements. I think it's from a different movie where Ewan McGregor played, I think he played Jesus in another role. So it was just a bunch of Star Wars clips intercut with that.
Ewan McGregor in a desert.
What a stupid thing to do. I was really they had to make a fake teaser, whatever. So it is what it is. So it seems excitement level that kind of pulls people in with the names itself more than anything. So we move on kind of to...
Can I have one last thought on that one, though?
Yes.
My general thought on this show, though, in my big summation of it, it's the one of all of their announcements that worries me the most, though. It's either going to go really right or really not right. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that this either is cool and has a lot of nostalgia, at the same time it's bringing some more depth to the characters, or it's going to retread over a story in a way that doesn't make sense in Star Wars and be a problem.
Al, do you agree with that?
I'd agree with that.
Okay, well, moving on kind of to a show that's had success, and it's based in the kind of Mandalorian era, so we're going to have some, not, I don't know if it's going to be where they tie into certain things going on in the Mandalorian now, but we're opening up with Rangers of the New Republic and Ahsoka. Is there any kind of news on if there is going to be same characters that come over from the Mandalorian into these shows? Either one of you can take the question.
Chris, you want to take it?
Yeah, so from what I heard, and I don't know, maybe you seem different, that they are going to have overlap. All of these shows are going to be centered on a certain set of characters, like the Ahsoka series obviously going to be centered on Ahsoka. But there's going to be overlap between all of the Mandalorian characters. And I think the idea is that these characters might bounce into each other's show every once in a while, and then in the end, there's some kind of large climactic thing all three of them build towards. At least that's what I got the feeling.
And Al, even when Ahsoka came on to Mandalorian, you mentioned that she was one of the fan favorites that kind of came on, and people loved her anyway. So do you think that this was lined up way before to give her her own spinoff before, like, even on the Mandalorian then? Obviously, it was in the mix already, but...
So her getting a spinoff series has kind of been rumored. I don't know how concrete those rumors were or whether or not, like, people were conflating, like, oh, like, they're looking to cast, like, a live-action, like, Ahsoka character, because she's a character that originated in the animated, like, a Clone Wars TV series. But, yeah, no, since, like, her debut in that, she's grown, I think, be one of the most, like, beloved, like, modern Star Wars characters out there, like, in the last, like, 10 years or so.
She's like, a legit top five Star Wars character for me, and I'm, like, a huge Star Wars nerd. So,
wow. Yeah.
And they, I mean... They're able to have this show because of the success of The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. So I think they always wanted to do it. And then when The Mandalorian knocked it out of the park is when they started green lighting the idea of putting Ahsoka on live.
Going back to what Chris was saying, it's been said even like explicitly that like Rangers of the New Republic and Ahsoka and The Mandalorian, at some point they are in fact going to kind of join up, like, kind of Avenger-style-esque, like, to deal with some big overall threat to, like, all three series or something. And just, like, it's going to be the three sides, like, dealing with some aspect of that greater threat. And that coming together in one, like, climactic event.
Yeah, so we know Ahsoka and everything, so obviously we got introduced from The Mandalorian, if you've been watching. For Rangers of the New Republic, who are they focusing on? Like, is it just a group of people? Is it one person? Like, how can I intertwine Mandalorian to the Rangers of the New Republic? Like, what am I seeing or watching?
It's not confirmed. I don't know if it's confirmed, but I think Gina Carano's character, Cara Dune from The Mandalorian, she's the big, like, buff, like martial woman in that. So I think it's going to be covering like her, and then I can see if you've been up to date on the new Mandalorian series, they've kind of done like a couple other like New Republic characters that have shown up in this like newest season. I can see them being involved. I forget the actor's name, but it's like, if you've been watching the show, it's one of the X-Wing pilots kind of showing up in a couple like episodes already. I can see him being involved, but I think it's going to be, I think Gina Carano is probably going to be one of the on that.
Bill Burr's character that's been popping up again, Mike, I think he could be another one.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that, but that would be a good way to keep him around as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think just based on the favoritism of Ahsoka, we're looking forward to Ahsoka more than Rangers of the New Republic. Now, is Ahsoka more, I guess, worthy of wanting to watch more than The Mandalorian? Like, are you more excited for that as a show? Or it's still Mandalorian is like still number one on the list.
I mean, as it stands right now, like the Mandalorian is kind of the peak on what Star Wars like television has been. It's going to be interesting to see what these other series are going to be like. I know that the same people developing Ahsoka and Rangers of the New Republic, it's Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau, who are the showrunners, like executive producers, writers for the Mandalorian. So I think I have faith that they'll do good with both series. I think it's gonna just appeal to a different sect of like the audience. So like,
yeah,
The Mandalorian captures that Western audience or people that can like that, and then I think Ahsoka's will be more tied to like the actual like Jedi like lore of the Star Wars. So you get the people that might like the more fantasy elements of what Star Wars is and the mysticism of the Jedi. So I think it's just going to appeal to a different like subsect of like the potential audience.
I think assuming they don't screw it up, which they probably won't, Ahsoka's probably going to end up, because me being the hard Star Wars nerd, Ahsoka is probably going to be the one I get.
All right. Perfect. So we're going to move on then to Lando, which, like I said, is the, I'm assuming it's a show. I've seen like speculation. It's not, it's in works, whatever. Starring Donald Glover, who is in the Solo Star Wars story. I think, and I was talking to Kyle, my buddy, about this. Did a Star Wars story get bad reviews, or was it mixed reviews? Do people like it?
Lukewarm. I think it's grown in people's mind over time. It was like when it first came out, there's a little bit of Star Wars fatigue and people being like, I don't get why we need this movie right now.
Yeah.
So it didn't get a lot of, it seemed like it got not panned, but not as much attention at first. And over time, people have been more okay with it. Yeah. I liked it when it first
came out. Okay. Yeah. Cause I liked it too. I forgot if it got mixed reviews or not. So, but I'm a big fan of Donald Glover. So I was always going to be a fan of Lando no matter what happened, even if the movie sucked or not. So I'm super happy for him getting his own show. I don't know how he has time for it, cause he does so much stuff with his other shows that he makes and writes and everything. So I don't know how he has time for it, but if he is doing it, then I'm all for it. I'll be watching it.
And Billy Dee Williams is like 100. So I don't know how he would be doing it.
Yeah.
So the one thing with some of these shows too, it's not guaranteed that they're being designed as like multiple season arcs in that too. Yeah. So in terms of like the concern about Donald Glover, like his scheduling, cause yeah, he's infamously like doing everything, like has no time for anything. I can see that being like a one season deal or just,
I think it's supposed to be, they said limited series. I think it's only going to be a couple episodes.
Yeah, so like it could be like that for the Lando series, the Obi-Wan like series could be like that. Like any number of things could be just like one-off things, because this many concurrent like Star Wars shows that like going up for or on forever and ever, like that would be insane.
Yeah. All right. So then we'll kind of I'll name the things that you added, Al. So you have the Acolyte, Andor, Star Wars. I thought it said the Bad Bitch, which I'm like, why would they make a movie called that? It's called the Bad Batch. Star Wars Visions, Lando, or like Lando we said, and a droid story in Visions. Anything else stick out on the list that we should mention, kind of rapid fire in this one?
I think Andor and the Acolyte are the two that people that are more casual Star Wars fans might like. Because I think Andor is going to be like a spy thriller and the Acolyte is going to be more of like a mystery thriller, that they're just basically like, let's try to do different genres in Star Wars. I think the Bad Batch is going to be one that's directed at Star Wars people, like your hardcore Star Wars people.
Okay.
I think anybody that doesn't watch animated series already is probably not watching that one. So
Al, a question for you, and I don't know if you even know if you can answer it, because this is based off a hypothetical that I had misreading the title. Who would be Star Wars the Bad Bitch? Would there be
Ahsoka?
Okay, Ahsoka played Star Wars the Bad Bitch. Okay, perfect. I just needed to know that first. So we'll move on to the future films. The Rogue Squadron, I don't know if I'm saying it right, for December 2023.
Definitely not, but...
Fuck. What is that?
Squadron?
Oh. I don't know why I got that wrong. you know what I mean. You're thinking Star Wars. You're thinking like some kind of different language, or like Squadron or some...
We're just learning even fake things.
I don't know. You know those... Never mind. I'm not even going to get into it. Just... You guys talk about it. Are you hyped up? Expectations of what's going to be with this?
I'm pretty excited about Rogue Squadron. I think that one could be a really cool feature film design. Because I am kind of just best way to describe this one, I think, is the idea behind it. It could literally just be Top Gun, but for Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wrote down for the title comes from Elite Starfighter Team founded by Luke Skywalker during a attack on Macau Ta space docks. I can't even read my own handwriting too. What is there anything with the title of Luke Skywalker, the ship? What's like it going to be about, or what you think it's going to be about?
So in the old, like established, like a canon, which is kind of under question now since like Disney took over, but Rogue Squadron was like this elite squadron of like starfighter pilots that was founded by Luke and one other pilot. And it was just like them doing like these in like very like impossible missions, or doing like, if you need like the best like pilots, that these were the guys that were going to get the job done. And there was actually there was like book series about them. There was video games for like back in like the N64 and like the GameCube and everything for them, which were pretty good, but which I grew up, those are some of my favorite games playing. But so I don't think this series will cover anything in that regard. I think Disney has tried to do as much like a new stuff as possible when they're doing features like this. But depending on who's working on it, if they pull from, they have a lot of options to pull from to do this if they want to, but I think it could be a solid, of the films, that one is one I am excited about.
Well, that's the one. They mentioned really quick too that this is the first Star Wars film directed by a female. It's Patty Jenkins. Mm-hmm. I don't know much about her. I think they said she did one other big film.
She's Wonder Woman, isn't she?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
Wonder Woman. So this is the first female director in Star Wars kind of film history. So I think that's interesting. I think, like I said, she'll do fine. Then we also have I can't even never say this. I said his name the last like 3 weeks too. Taika Waititi is going to be making his own film as well. I can see both guys. I mean, both guys giggle at me every time I say something wrong. I'm just used to it by this point. So that's not even a Star Wars name. It's just like a regular name of a person too. So talk about either one, Patty Jenkins or the Star Wars feature film for the guy I just said.
I'll say that I think, just to piggyback on what Al said, I was one of the people that read every single one of those Rogue Squadron books as a kid. I had the video game. I am ridiculously pumped for a Rogue Squadron movie because, one, Top Gun and Star Wars, and I think there's cool stuff they can do with it. I wonder if they're looking to spin another one into a future TV show. A Rogue Squadron type of setup would make for a just fine TV show, too, if they're doing it down the road. It might be expensive would be their only prohibiting factor, but I do think you could make a lot of episodic things with a Rogue Squadron idea, yeah. Just different missions that they do.
So
Then the Taika Waititi one, this one I'm just the most like curious about, because I'm not sure what everything that Taika Waititi does, I enjoy. I just don't know what his Star Wars will look like or what kind of story they'll give him, because there's a part of me that wants to see more serious, dark Star Wars, as I've said in the past, but I don't think that's going to go to Taika Waititi, and I think I'm okay with it, which is, let's see, I mean, he'll do something fun, and I am very eager to see what they give him to do.
I hope if for him, just like with his style, I really hope that they give him the freedom to kind of explore like an aspect of Star Wars that we, like an aspect in a setting that we haven't seen before, so that like, if people are worried about, because I know he injects like a ton of humor into his, that like, I don't know if some people would, if it would rub people the wrong way, if like he starts taking established characters and starts making everything like all goofy around them. But like he's done, I think, very well with, like he's done some of the episodes of The Mandalorian already. And like, I think they were very good. But yeah, if a whole movie to himself with like creative freedom, curious to see what he does with that. I'd rather he just kind of have his own little like sandbox in like one corner of the galaxy, like that he can play around with and do what he wants.
So we'll leave the Star Wars as this. We need to move on. What is the show that you need injected into your veins, and what's the show or movie that you can do without? So just kind of rapid fire. So we'll go to Chris first.
Oh, Chris, you're muted.
We lost Chris. So, Al, you go first, and then we'll get Chris off mute, and then then Chris can go.
Go ahead.
For me, I'm probably most excited to see what they do with the tie-ins to The Mandalorian, so like the Ahsoka series and the Rangers of the New Republic. Movie-wise, I really want to see what they can do with the Rogue Squadron.
What could be tossed away?
For me, the droid story, which we didn't even talk about because there's nothing to it, and I think that's probably the least like entertaining story potential to one that they have set up. It's basically, right. I think it's supposed to be just a mini series following, was it like R2-D2 and C-3PO?
Oh, yeah.
Which I think are good side characters, but I don't really like have faith in anything when they're supposed to be like the main, the main aspect of it.
Second, right. I mean, that's my toss away too. I think that's a show that if you've got kids, like young kids, they'll really like, and then shoot it straight into my veins as Ahsoka, because I'm just a big Ahsoka Tano fan.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah, and I'm sure you guys will watch any of them no matter what, even if they suck. So we're moving on now. We're going to go to the other Lucas films really quick. Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford is doing the fifth installment of Indiana Jones. And I think it's probably the last, I'm guessing. I don't see how they're making any more of these. Mm-hmm. And then we have Children of Blood and Bone, which is based on the best-selling novel by Tommy Adeyemi. I said that as best I could. Anything stick out on this list?
I've never been like the huge I need Indiana Jones fan. I just enjoy them, but I'll watch it. That's how, I mean, that's how I feel about it. I will catch it since it's on streaming. Otherwise, I wouldn't go to a movie theater to see it.
Yeah, I think that's all we need to say about that. Really quick, because I did miss this for Pixar or Disney series inside Pixar. Pixar Popcorn, there's Doug Days, which is a spinoff of Doug from Up. Doug learns the dangers of living in a suburbia. Then there's also a new series following Lightning McQueen and Mater on a road trip to release fall 2022. We do not need to talk about that. We are going to move right on to Marvel and kind of finish our discussion for the night. So here's what we have going on. We have a lot. So I'll try to break it down in a quick and best way as possible. So we have Secret Invasion. I think it's Invasion. Starring Samuel Jackson. We have Ironheart. Dominic Throne as Genius Inventor. We have Armor Wars with Don Cheadle as James Rhodes, a.k.a. War Machine. Still expect the Disney titles. We have WandaVision coming like soon, very soon this month, if it's not already out. Falcon and the Winter Soldier coming March 2021. Loki starring Tom Hiddleston coming May 2021. What If coming in 2021. Miss Marvel starring Iman Vellani as Kamala Khan has polymorphous powers coming 2021. We have Hawkeye starring Hailee Steinfeld alongside Jeremy Renner. We have She-Hulk. We have Moon Knight. We have Guardian Holiday Special set for December 2022. And we have I Am Groot. What sticks out first for you guys in this list? What's the main one?
Go ahead, Al. You first.
Oh, I was going to pass it off to you. So, what was it? I'm kind of intrigued in what they do with the Secret Invasion, because I never read comics or ever, but I feel like that was one of the bigger like stories that they did. So just kind of containing it all in one series might be interesting. But no, other than that, just pure curiosity, the What If series, I think was supposed to be the one where it's kind of examining like, oh, what if like Captain America didn't do this in this film, or what if the Iron Man didn't do this? And I think that could just be an interesting.
It seems like fan fiction. It seems like the fan fiction, like what if this happened instead of that, and an animated version of it. And they still have like the voices of some of the characters that are going to be in What If. So you'll still hear the same voices that you usually hear with these characters. But yeah, it definitely seems like a kind of fan, like deep fan kind of dive into like, if I were watching, I miss some things, but knowing Nerd Al, I know you would catch every single thing that happened in that What If show.
I think, the Loki one looks bonkers and looks super fun. So I don't know. I don't think I have any idea what it's going to be about, but it's Tom Hiddleston and Loki's a fun character, and the brief clips of it, I have no idea what's going on. So it looks like it'll be fun.
Yes. Owen Wilson's in it too. Randomly as an old person, as like a, like an agent of the, wherever he just landed up from, after that. But yeah, I'm still interested. It looks very interesting to me. I'm still ready to go with that.
The only other one that I was going to say that has jumped out to me from people that apparently know comics and know cool stories, and I don't know anything about this one, is Moon Knight. Moon Knight's supposed to be a very cool idea. I know it's some kind of, that, you know, it's obviously a superhero that has some kind of powers linked to being nocturnal, but at the same time, it's somebody that has some kind of like dissociative personality disorder where he has multiple personalities that he's trying to figure out how to contain or doesn't know that he has, and I just think that that's a cool idea, and I've heard that's a cool
Jordan had actually talked about that on a previous episode, and because I had heard like Moon Knight is supposed to be like the Marvel Universe's the equivalent of Batman, but then Jordan kind of clarified too that he's kind of a combination of Batman and Deadpool, so he just kind of has like those fourth wall breaking moments or just the just totally ridiculous just kind of developments from like that, like Chris is saying, that multiple personality disorder sort of stuff. So I guess I never knew there was kind of like a almost like a little comedy element to that. Mm-hmm. So I think that could be like fairly interesting.
Speaking of non-comedy, I didn't think Falcon the Winter Soldier looked anything interesting to me. I don't think like the Falcon's that funny to me either. Like he never has that moment where he kind of says like that little humor that can be involved in like making it not too serious. This didn't interest me. I don't know what it adds to my Marvel universe by me watching it.
As somebody whose favorite Marvel movie is The Winter Soldier, I actually had the same thought when I saw the show. I was like, I really don't care that much. And I kind of expected to.
I watched the trailer, teaser, whatever it was, and I'm like, I don't want to watch this now that I watched this. Like, it just didn't do anything for me. WandaVision looked... I was so confused. I never even heard of WandaVision, so I didn't know what it was. It had this kind of, like, I Love Lucy type beginning, then it kind of transforms in this to, like, kind of modern day, like, you know, civilization where now she's, like, superpowers and can fly all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. It was very confusing to me, the whole, like, little snippets they showed. I was just like, I'm lost, but it comes in 2020 December, which is now. So, I'm like, I'll watch it when it comes out.
That's how I feel about it. It looks, I don't understand what it is, but I'll watch it.
Yes, and I'm sure it'll once it has time to reveal itself during episodes. Or
yeah, it could be really cool.
It'll seem like it could be a cool idea. So, I'm here for it. I'm trying to think. Miss Marvel stood out to me only because my girl Brie Larson, Captain Marvel 2, this Miss Marvel's part, like, that's who she looks up to, this Miss Marvel, you know, teenage girl. So she's going to be in Captain Marvel 2 when it comes out. So I just like to see her story develop. So when I see Captain Marvel 2, I'll know more about her. Hawkeye, and I saw it, this was my point before, it's a TV series. Why are they not making a movie of this? Like, I thought these are kind of supposed to be movies that, like, Marvel kind of based it around. It seemed like it's being more TV series now. What's the point of not making Hawkeye a movie, or in the sense of some of these being TV series instead of movies?
Hawkeye's one that surprised me. I figured that was a movie. Yeah. I don't know that there's 10 episodes worth of Hawkeye I care about.
Al, you think the same thing I'm thinking? Like, why are they not making these movies, especially for a pretty known character in the Marvel universe?
I think it's just basically supposed to be introducing someone that takes over the Hawkeye like mantle. And I think the TV series, I don't think you can get Jeremy Renner to necessarily do like a, if it is like an 8 to 10 episode series like that. I think it's just cheaper to introduce like someone new or newer that could potentially grow into like replacing him potentially. But
yeah,
I'm not particularly interested in the series, but yeah.
Yeah, and I especially really could be at the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff in there too. They're going to be filming the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special during when they're filming the Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and they're going to set to release that during the holidays before Guardians of the Galaxy 3 release, so that'll be interesting. I'm Groot. It's a series of original shorts, so I think that'll be good too. But I think, once again, I think we have Guardians of the Galaxy 3 on our list later on, so we can get in that later. So I'm going to name the list of the other films we have coming on, and we can kind of see what we like in this kind of category. So we have Ant-Man and the Wasp, Core and Team, I can't even read it, Core and Team Mania. We have Fantastic
Mania.
Thank you, Al. We have Fantastic Four. We have Black Widow. And I don't know if any of these dates mean anything. I think they're just dates that, you know, we'll see kind of thing, but I'm going to say them anyway. Black Widow, May 7th, 2021. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, July 9, 2021. Eternals, which is coming out February 12, 2021. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, March 25th, 2022. Thor, Love and Thunder, coming out February 11th, 2022. Black Panther 2, set for July 8th, 2022. Blade, October 7th, 2022. Captain Marvel 2, November 11th, 2022. Guardians Volume 3, 2023. I'm tired of saying the word two. So I think I'll start off really quick because I want to ask you guys. This Eternals movie has a great cast. I don't know anything about Eternals, but I love the cast. And I kind of wrote down some names. I wrote Angelina Jolie, Selma Hayek, Richard Madden, Kit Harington, Kumail Nanjiani, Brian Tyree Henry. I love all those people, and there's more on the list, but what is Eternals?
So I don't know anything specific about them, but yeah. I think they're supposed to be just kind of like, they're almost supposed to be like godlike figures. I think it's supposed to be, they're not really tied to anything with Earth per se. Like they're out there kind of like in the galaxy with like the Guardians like aspect, but I think it might be something like that, but they're supposed to be like godlike figures.
I think they're like closer. I feel like the closest analogous characters that we've seen so far are things like Thor to them, except I think they're more powerful than that. They just, for some reason that I'm sure the show is going to have to explain, haven't been interfering in anything going on for the last like 22 movies. So I'm curious to see that explanation.
Yeah, that one stuck out to me just by the names itself. I also really loved Thor Love and Thunder. I thought Christian Bale's a villain is going to be awesome. So mm-hmm. I think that movie has a lot of star power in as well, just with Natalie Portman, Tessa Thompson, those people, like Chris Pratt's in it. So I'm very looking forward. That's probably the number one on my list, maybe. I'm trying to look around. Maybe, but obviously we'll get through a couple more. Al, is there any one that you want to watch more than any other ones?
I'm a huge fan of the Guardians like group. I didn't like the second film as much as the first, but I do love like the group dynamic that they have. So I'm excited about Volume 3 coming out. Black Panther just makes me like sad.
Yeah, and they mentioned too, like obviously they're not going to replace Chadwick Boseman for his character. They're going to be exploring the world around him, kind of the characters and then everything that he helped build as T'Challa as well as Chadwick Boseman, because he had so much impact on that movie and the characters around him and that development of everything that went on. So they want to do as much as they can to remember that story and kind of build around it still. So I appreciate what they're doing with that, and I'm definitely looking forward to that as well.
Out of pure curiosity, out of the new movies, like the new characters and concepts they're going with, Blade. I am super curious about how you're going to have a Marvel Blade, because to me, that does not seem like a character that fits with the Marvel, you know, their
universe.
Their universe and their just general like feeling about the way they do movies. Blade does not feel like a Marvel feel.
Yeah, Mahershala Ali is awesome, and I just want to say his name because I actually say it right. But I think he's awesome in general, no matter what. So I'm all for him. But like you said, I didn't know this is part of the Marvel universe or what they're trying to force on us. But I guess I'm here for it just based on the character itself.
Yep.
Or the actor itself, not the character itself, but the actor is awesome.
Very curious is how I feel about that one, because I'm in the same boat. Just curious.
Who could he be to move, Al, who could he be in a movie with? Like, who could he team up with in another movie and, like, be a part of with? Like, I don't see him pairing with another movie or, like, being a part of some duo that can make sense.
Yeah, I have no idea, because, like, Blade is in that category because, again, like, not just introducing Blade, like, you have to introduce vampires to the world.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's what you have to tie into this bigger, like, universe. Like, talk about things that, like, oh, like, how come this never showed up in all this? Because it's the same issue I've actually had with when people talk about bringing X-Men into the series. Because, like, for me, like, they're almost like a separate, like, universe. Because for the fact, like, how can you celebrate all these, like, super, like, human characters or whatever, but then you introduce the concept of mutants who are supposed to be, like, disparaged by society? Like,
and so I think there's an important movie in there that bridges how they can do that. It's Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Because that's how you get to being able to do Blade. That's how you get the idea that there's a universe out there where there's vampires.
Yeah, I agree. There's mechanics to bring these worlds together.
Yeah, I just don't know if it works.
Seeing how they intermesh is going to be the...
Yeah, they might. It could be one of those things where they try and some of these actually work and some of them fall flat on their face.
Yeah. And I think you already know that Brie Larson, Captain Marvel 2 is going to be on my list. So we don't need to talk about that. Black Widow with ScarJo, are we interested in that? Does anyone want to see that? Is anyone calling for that?
I've already seen it in Winter Soldier. I think the ScarJo in Winter Soldier was kind of like the coolest ScarJo Black Widow. So I don't know. I'm sure this will be good, but it's not like high on my priority list.
Yeah. And then Ant-Man and the Wasp. It'll be all right. You know, it's like, okay, I'll watch it. I'm not going to be like over the moon about it, but I think we're good on that. Anything else to add from the Marvel? You kind of like parting words of the Marvel universe. Out of everything we've seen, you know, from start to finish, what's the one thing, like you said, from Star Wars, what's the one thing that stands out you need to see, and what's the one that you can do without?
Hmm.
I'll start first. I think Thor Love and Thunder is the one I want to see on the list. I don't know. I just think that Christian Bale as a villain will be awesome. I think that general like cast will be funny, but yet serious at the same time. I'm looking forward to it. The one that I don't need to see, if I'm really looking at it, maybe She-Hulk. I don't know what the point of that is. I didn't really need the Hulk in the first place. She-Hulk, I don't really care about either. So
I have one you're going to hate. Mine is Captain Marvel, too.
Yeah, it's fine. I just like I rewatch it. I'm like, okay, it wasn't the best of the, like, even close to the top of the Marvel list. I thought it was more in the middle. It's but fun. Brie Larson will always do it for me, so I'm here
okay,
for it.
Okay, that's fair. I get that part, too.
All right, and what's the one you want to see, like, you need?
I agree with you. It's the Thor Love and Thunder one.
Al, any different opinions on the top one?
Top one, I'm going to say Guardians.
Yeah, we said one, so.
And the one, the one I can do without, movie, just eliminating it to movie-wise, I'd say Blade.
Yeah, like I said, Blade only. So I thought we did a good job there. Just based on Star Wars and Marvel, there's a lot to take in there, and I wish we had Jordan to unravel it with us because he would have been great with it too. He would have loved to nerd out a little bit too, but he'll have time. We'll let him rant next week too. So we have a couple more announcements before we get to trivia really quick to find out who's the real nerd. Just kidding, Al. You're safe for another week until we find a strategy. So FX, Always Sunny, green light for another 4 seasons, the longest running live-action sitcom in television history. Then for Hulu, we have Handmaid's Tale, renewed for the 5th season. We have a multi-year deal with the Kardashian and Jenners to create new content to stream exclusively on Hulu. Their show was recently canceled on E!, so that's obviously they're up to something. Kris Jenner's always on her A-game. Premium series, Only Murders in the Building, starring Steve Martin and Martin Short, as well as Selena Gomez. We have The Dropout, starring Kate McKinnon. And we have Dope Sick with Michael Keaton, Peter Sarsgaard, and Rosario Dawson. But last but not least, for Kris, we have an Alien series that he'll love to talk about. So, Kris, let's just let you rant or talk about it. What do you love about this Alien series, and what is it?
I'll keep it short. It's directed by Noah Hawley, too, which excites me. I know Noah Hawley's had some kind of sort of misses lately with the last season of Fargo. Wasn't very good, and Legion was kind of weird. But when Noah Hawley gets something right, he gets it really right. And something that he's good at doing is emulating the feel of major movies. Like his first series of Fargo feels incredible. It just feels like Fargo, the movie. So I really like the Alien movies. I think that they're like underrated, really good thriller, horror, sci-fi. I don't know how graphic they can be, but I mean, it is on Hulu, so maybe.
Yeah.
They can be a little more violent with it, but I just think the Alien series is cool. It doesn't get enough credit, I feel like, in nerd circles, and I'm a big fan of it.
Al, is this in your nerd circle, Alien series?
I liked Aliens, so the sequel.
That one's good.
I think I have seen like the majority of like 3 and 4, I think, and then a long time ago, I think I saw Aliens 1, so I respect Alien, like the first 2 films, definitely. I can definitely agree with. I think that's okay. As far as like sci-fi series, I think that one could. I'd be fully supportive of that one getting revamped.
And there's plenty of room to go with mythology to make it into a longer standing series. Like they could actually explore some stuff in that one. So,
right. So Al, anything else that got on this list for you?
I love the fact that, or I do love the fact that Always Sunny is greenlit for 4 more seasons. They're literally just going to do that show until Danny DeVito dies. And even then, I think they're going to just use his corpse for the next 3 episodes afterwards.
Yeah.
Just keep going with it. But
can I give you guys my hot take that makes everybody hate me?
Okay.
I don't think Always Sunny is that funny.
That's a hot take, and obviously, once again, different strokes for different folks. But I don't know how that's not funny. Like, I just watch it. And like, I don't think how does like not how does this how is this not funny to everyone?
I think it has its peaks that are like its highs are really high in some of the funniest stuff I've seen. I just don't find it consistently like always as funny.
Yeah. Okay.
How about Tim's like, I respect your opinion.
But
why are you so wrong?
Yeah, pretty much in a sense.
That's everybody's response when I say that, though.
So. I'm surprised with Glenn Howerton because he left the show for a hot minute saying he wants to do different projects, kind of explore a little bit. But obviously, he's still doing it, and it sounds like he's balancing his work a little better now where he can do both. Or like I don't know how it's going to work with their workloads and stuff like that, doing different things. But I'm glad that they announced four more seasons. It's kind of crazy to do four seasons, not just like one at a time, but here we are for it. I think I like the idea of Kate McKinnon getting the show, whatever. I like when SNL characters get to develop into something more, so that's kind of cool. But other than that, I think it's cool Steve Martin and Selena Gomez are in a show together. What a bizarre world we're in.
I get Steve Martin and Martin Short. Selena Gomez in that mix is the weird like thing. I have no idea what's going to be up with that.
Yeah. So we're just going to move on to trivia. This was fun. I'm glad we got to nerd out with without Jordan. And I know he's going to have some FOMO from this one. But Jordan, we miss you. We'll have you back on soon, hopefully next week. So trivia. Al, I'm going to have you go first. This is kind of a guessing game. Whoever's closer. You don't need to know an answer. This is just based on streaming sites. So kind of transitioning from our Hulu site. So I'm just going to ask you for the exact dates. Do you need a month, day, and year? Okay. So what day did Hulu originate? So it's a month, day, and year. So any guess, whoever's closer gets it, the point, whatever you're going to call it. The day is just for a tiebreaker. I was just thinking of a month and a year and throw in a day randomly. When did Hulu start or originate? I think I just typed in Google, when did Hulu begin? And it gave me a date right away. So that's the date I'm going off of. Didn't do any research other than that.
March 1st, 2013.
Okay. Chris.
I'm going to go earlier by a bit. I'm going to say like July 1st, 2010.
All right, Chris, you are closer. The actual answer, which Al, you were on something for a second. It was March 12th, so you were like 11 days off, but it was 2008.
Oh, wow.
So Chris was a little closer there, so Chris gets the point for that one. That was a very interesting one. So, all right, the next one is going to be Chris first. When did Netflix begin?
I feel like I got it pretty quickly after it started. I'm going again in the 2010 range. I'm going to say, let's just go January 1st of 2010.
Love it. Okay. Al.
Price is Right. January 2nd. No. I'm going to do July 1st, 2007.
All right, Al, since it's based on relatively who's closer, you are correct. You guys are way off, and I'm surprised at this Netflix date. So Netflix...
It's way earlier, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So it's created 1 year, and then 1 year later, it was kind of the site started. The site started on August 14, 1998. So that's when it began, which is insane. I mean, if you go to the Netflix timeline and wiki, it's like it was created in 1997. Then there's a site started with 1,000 movies you can rent out in their store or something like that. It's bizarre, but that's when it started. Yeah. So that's crazy. Well, I knew neither of you would get close to that one, but it's 1-1 going into the last category. So
Family Video and Blockbuster never knew what hit them.
Yeah, and producer Tim, something about male VHSs or something like that with that Netflix. So, Al, last one. Here we go, the tiebreaker. When did Disney Plus release or start? So this is a lot more recent. Yes, producer Tim said they mailed DVDs. That was Netflix.
August 1st, 2019.
Okay. This one's not going to be a lot closer because there is like more of a timeline that we can remember for Disney Plus. So
I'm going to go, wow. So this is just, you might have to count days because I'm going to go October 1st, 2019.
October 1st. So based on these results, the winner is Nerd Chris. So Chris was only 1 month and 11 days off. It was November 12th,
2019.
So that was
very close. I thought it was like September. That's why I was guessing October. I was like, crap, I hope it's sometime in the middle of September.
Yeah, no, let's get in the middle of that. So, Chris, you get your shout-outs first. Give your three shout-outs or how many ever shout-outs you want to give.
Actually, I'd like to – you guys do yours first. Okay. Can I graciously allow others to do theirs first?
There you go. Right. I'll shout-out Chris for that one. Then I'm going to shout-out Brie Larson. Then I'm going to give a shout-out to producer Tim for recording. I pray, once again, that this all goes well and we don't have a lost episode.
All right. I shout-out the new nerd on the podcast, Nerd Chris. title well-deserved now. Yes. And shout out the gang from Always Sunny.
Yes, they're funny.
How many years of how many years they've been running that show, and it's been good.
Yes,
at the very least.
All right,
I won't usurp your throne. You still get to be Nerd Al. We can just be nerds together.
I'm perfectly fine giving up this title.
Shout outs to all of you here for bailing my wife out of hearing me rant about the Disney release for a little bit longer. So that's a shout out from Kristen to you guys. And shout out to Dave Filoni for finally getting good Star Wars, like Clone Wars stuff, like Ahsoka, onto the live action.
Perfect. All right. Like we say every episode, bye Jordan, or hi Jordan. And also bye Jordan. Thanks for editing this.
Bye.
Bye.
Marge, I'm confused. Is this a happy ending or a sad ending?
It's an ending. That's enough. Bye.